area.
Is that a church on the way, on Sherman? Sherman? Okay, very good. So everyone on the council is invited to that, and that'll be a good event. And we're working well with our other elected officials. Moving on, 8B, the first annual Children's Day and Movie Night at the Government Center. The VNNC needs to come together for a brainstorming and planning session. We also need to finish planning and addressing the logistics to pull this event off. Basically, if we want to do this, we would need to take some action on this now. Nikki with Paul Krikorian's office is ready for us to give her the word. Does anybody want to help plan this, or should we table this and work on it next year?
The date,
what we set with Derek Walenko was the first Sunday in August, which would be the 3rd. However, the library is only open on Saturdays and not Sundays. So we were tentatively going for August 2nd. But at the same time, if we don't have time to pull it all together, or...
So the
wheels of government turn slowly, if at all. And so we've established the first annual Children's Day, and we can start planning it for next year. We're just 13 months ahead of schedule.
We just have to make sure we have a chairman who follows through with things.
Yes, Penelope.
What has Derek done on this?
That is a very good question.
Like the 4th of July, what happened for the 4th of July, we had nothing.
So I think it needs to be tabled because 2 weeks isn't going to...
The 4th of July was not my idea. The 4th of July is a celebration of our independence from England.
And Mr. Walenko said he would chair the ad hoc committee to have something set up. And
I know. We'll have a new policy.
There's no crosstalk here.
All right. Let's get back to... tabling. We will table the movie night until we can work on it. It might be better to be working with Nuri Martinez's office and Guillermo on the movie nights and see what we can do with them. All right. Before we continue on, we do have some old business to address. Scott Greenwald needs to know what we're deciding about the light pole banners. So, Scott, come on up here so we can torch you. All right. So, Scott.
All right. So, sorry.
We need to decide whether it's the one of the three estimates that you gave us.
Right. I guess a brief summary is in order here.
Please do.
Okay. In June, I attended the board meeting where we just, yes, sir.
Could you tell me who you are and who you represent?
Scott Greenwald. I'm with Amgraph. We are a City of LA licensee and vendor. Candy would recall that my company produced the current Van Nuys Neighborhood Council light pole banners, which have been up since about 2010. They're tired, faded, dirty, torn. Little by little, they're fading away. I attended the exec meeting in June. We discussed options about and budgets and suggestions about how to do it. I presented emails to the exec committee with requests how to, what do we want quoted? So I think we did. Okay, let's back up. There were 183 banners. I was asked for quotes for 61 and 91, 92, a third and a half. You have the quotes, I hope.
Yep.
Okay. We are now into a new fiscal year. The permit for the current banners expired June 30th.
Oh.
I did not want the council to lose the locations.
We don't either.
So I took it upon myself, because that's what I do for my clients, to apply for just the next 90 days only. And I applied for what we have currently, not the intersections, because I don't know what that's going to be yet, but not 183, just half. So currently the council's banners are permitted through September 30th, as it presently is. Sepulveda, Sherman Way, and Van Nuys in the council boundaries. We can do anything you like with those quotes, artwork, locations, intersections, whatever you'd like. I'm just here to find out what the next step is.
Does anybody have any questions for Scott?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Roland.
Maybe not banners, but do you know about flags? Our post office is hungry for a flag, but the it said that we cannot have a flag there if it's not raised by a military person.
Oh boy,
Roland, we'll address that later, but we just need to focus on the banners. Yes, Daniel Luna. I believe it is. Well, I think the thing is if there's an American flag up, if it's at night, it has to be lighted, officially lighted, and I don't know that a military personnel would have to raise it. I've never heard that.
They don't.
Well, what we'll do is we'll write Congressman Cardenas. We'll ask him for a flag that was flown over the Capitol, and we'll present that when they do the Marilyn Monroe post office thing.
There you go.
Perfect. Let's go, Mr. Luna, and then Mr. Hendry.
A couple of questions. Currently, how many banners do we have up right now?
4 or 5 years later, I'd probably say there's about half of them are still up, maybe a little more.
So
90 to 100 approximately.
Okay. Of those 90, how many, and you may not know this, how many bodies has that turned into participants here? What's been the rate of return?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Okay,
there's
so.
There's no way to track that.
Okay.
The banners, for right. neighborhood councils, the banners promote awareness of the council and the community.
How do you quantify that?
I don't.
Okay, so.
That's for the council.
So out of 183 banners, what has been the return to this council? In what
awareness of the council for 5 years on major thoroughfares
that?
In Van Nuys.
Yes.
But how do you quantify that?
Okay, let me say it a different way.
Sure.
The only study I think maybe this is what you're going for. The only study I've ever heard, and we've used this number for years, the banners generate what's called gross impressions.
I'm familiar with the gross impressions.
Okay. I cite on banners. Each poll, regardless of where it is, whether it's Van Nuys or anywhere else in the city, each poll, whether it's one banner on the pole like these or two banners like the museums or whatever it is, each pole generates 3,000 impressions per day. 3,000 impressions times the number of banners, which is approximately 100 now, let's say, times 5 years is millions and millions of gross impressions.
Okay, but just to clarify, there's no way to quantify impressions into conversion. There's no conversion rate.
Well, if you get increased... Tell you what, when new banners go up and people say, hey, did you see the new banners? They look great.
Makes us okay. good.
Or you get more people attend the council meetings, or there's more interest in the community. Or
got it. So my last question, and maybe this is for the board, maybe this is for yourselves.
Okay.
Do we have any data on the return of these banners? Has anybody tracked that?
There's no way to track
There is no way to quantify that.
Okay, so just my final point, it's possible that the banners do nothing.
That's an opinion. It's entirely possible. It's not my opinion.
Well, without data, that's my opinion.
Well, the reason the city licenses vendors to produce these banners and install them is because neighborhood councils, business improvement districts, chambers of commerce, museums, hospitals, schools, churches, other organizations, everybody wants to get their message to the public. This is the best way to do it. This is the most cost-effective outdoor advertising there is.
It's not cost-effective if there's no return. And there's no return if you can't quantify it.
I don't mean to be argumentative. It's just a matter of opinion.
No, it's okay. I mean, every other marketing media, whether direct mail, website, radio, TV, you can quantify the return. Banners without us, and this is our fault because we haven't gathered any data. We don't know, and I'm guessing these quotes are 8,000, 11,000. We don't know what that has gotten us. So I'm just saying publicly that whatever we spend, we have no clue what that's actually gotten us. It's a gamble because there's no way to quantify the results.
It would be a gamble. Again, I don't mean to be argumentative.
No, it's not argumentative.
A gamble if, the council says, what are we going to do with our money? Let's take a flyer on this, and it doesn't work. But the banners have been up for 5 years.
That's right.
But last sentence, they may have been up for 5 years. Can anybody definitively say what they've done in those 5 years? The fact is there is no quantitative data.
Let me say it a different way, and not about councils.
Sure.
We have a lot of museum clients.
Mm-hmm.
When the museums survey their patrons about how did they find out about this exhibit or that exhibit, and again, this is not, I don't speak for them, I'm just telling you what we've heard. They say that the banners are the top choice. And the reason why is because not everyone reads newspapers anymore or listens to radio or watches television or has cable or sees ads in movie screens or is social media inclined, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But everybody is moving around, going to work, going to school, going out, going to meetings, going to dinner. People are moving around, and the banners are out wherever you are, especially in your community.
Okay.
That's how we justify
Fair enough.
Awareness.
Fair enough. We just don't have any data to support that.
Mr. Henry, did you have something for Mr. Greenwald?
Yes, just from your experience, though. Like the museums, they're advertising all over the valley, even as far as Chatsworth, which might seem an unlikely distance to go downtown to the county museum or whatever.
Well, the bigger entities, the Getty Center, LACMA, the Huntington, so forth and so on.
The Annenberg.
They all have, thank you, the Annenberg. They all have budgets. They want to reach people all over the city. They're not trying to be exclusive. They're not trying to be inclusive by putting banners everywhere from Chatsworth to San Pedro and east side to west side. They're trying to reach all of the city's inhabitants.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything for Scott? Sure, Donna.
First of all, banners are kind of like searchlights. So they can bring them over there, but once they get here, you got to do something to attract the people once they come here. And maybe on the banners you can say, like, what night is the neighborhood council? I'm not sure. It just says Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. They'll say, you know, I'm not sure if they give them information. But the biggest thing, if they do have the you got to be sure that it says the information when the meeting is and where it is. Because they, right on the banner. Every
the accident's trying to read it, sweetie. We can't do that.
Well, say, I guess, then put down the website. Oh, okay. As I said, the last part, the biggest thing is it's a searchlight, the banner, but you got to do something once they come here to give them something to want to come back. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Candy.
This is $30,000.
Yes, it's our money,
of
too.
Your money. It's,
thank you, Mr. Luna.
It's incumbent upon us to be very fiscally responsible. If we're talking about spending a third of that, that has to be dealt with scrutiny.
Very good. So with that, Scott, we have a few estimates from you. One was for 61 banners. One was for 92. And then the full one, which was, what, 100 and?
Well, you said we're not doing 183.
Okay, so then this council needs to vote on whether we are going to have the banners and whether we're going with 92 banners or 61 banners.
92.
Or none at all.
Or none at all.
Mr. President.
Yes.
I have a suggestion. Why don't we put the banners on major intersections, on major streets, Sepulveda, on Van Nuys Boulevard, where they can do more good because there's a lot of traffic.
If we voted for the 61 banners, would we get to pick where they go?
Yes.
Well, that might be the thing.
That goes for 61, 92. That goes for no matter what the quantity is.
Yeah.
The predecessor several years ago, for the record, Lydia Drew Mather, who designed the banners, which I think I told you, you have the best light pole banner image of any neighborhood council.
No, I was in West Valley today, and some of them could cause accidents. I was trying to read one, and
you don't want to have your meeting in a wall of verbiage. You want to have an image that connotes the area.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, ma'am.
May I ask the street banners, the Gold Cross? Mm-hmm. How long were you allowed to leave those up for?
Well, it's not about the banners. It's about who. Neighborhood councils are part of the city of LA. Neighborhood councils, excuse me, the city, being the city, can do what it wants. You can get the banners for up to a year in 90-day increments.
Because if you live at major intersections, banners that go across versus those other ones, that might be more.
Right. The upside of the light pole banners is that there's many of them. The downside of an across-the-street banner is that there's one of them. You go underneath it, and it's gone.
Exactly.
The city has, if you can believe it, officially, across the street banner is the same size as the light pole banner, just turned on its side. The banners are 3x8, So an 8x3 across the street banner in the middle of the street looks like a postage stamp.
Yeah.
No, I'm not discouraging. I'm just saying that's the light pole banners are better for a number of reasons.
So without objection, I would like to make a motion that we adopt, the verbiage or the language for the motion. I would like the 61 banners, which would be the minimum quote from Scott. And for the votes, the motion would be that we are voting on the 61 banners, whether we're for it or against it. And the total cost on that is $8,200. Yes, it does.
That's exactly what it is.
Yep.
Oh, that's a quote. Okay. Is I don't have the quote with me. I believe that's it. There's a
82-5471. That's it.
Right. 61 banners, single unit installations, permit fees to the city. By the way, this just because you're the city doesn't mean the city doesn't charge you fees now. That's something that changed.
These will be good for like another 5 years.
Beg your pardon?
These will be good for another 5 years.
Yeah, we just
in 5 years they'll look like these do, but yes, they should last a long time.
All right. I make a motion that we vote on whether or not we fund the 61 banners for $8,200 and $54.71. So you'd be voting yes or no on the 61 banners for $8,254.71.
Second that motion. Oh, okay. Beat me to it.
Mr. Vice President has seconded the motion. I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, just a second. President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Secretary Hendry. Yeah, aye. Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Abstain.
Abstain?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Lazarovitz.
Aye.
Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Mr. Guevara.
Abstain.
Abstain. Just a second. Okay. Ms. Skelton.
She's not here.
She left.
She walked somewhere.
I don't see Ms. Skelton. Okay. Mr. Anand.
Stepped out.
Excuse me? No. Out too. Okay. Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Ms. Padden.
Yes.
Mr. Lynn.
Stay.
Mr. Luna.
No.
Mr. Marabi. Mrs. Arzola? Abstain? Okay.
One more. There's only 10.
10 aye, 1 no, 4 abstain.
Do we need 11 to pass it?
I think we do. And
you have 19.
Of none left or
no,
not?
We don't.
No?
Well, we need a majority of the members.
That's right. That are present. That's right.
Okay,
that's right. That's right. That's right. Majority, and we've got the majority, so, yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Did you have something to say, Candido? All right. Very good. So, with that, Scott, the process to continue from here.
I presume we want to do the same image. We want
yes.
to rerun this. Okay, so we can print, sign the estimate, send it to me, and we'll.
Back in. Do you want his vote?
Ah.
Did you want Mr. Anand to vote on this, Mr. Secretary?
Home emergency. Let's do it. Light pole banners.
I'm sorry, I got to go. I have a little emergency at home.
Oh, okay.
So I got to go take care of that.
Very good. Okay. Either way, Scott, email me and tell me what the process is to continue on. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone.
All right, moving on. 8C, 8D, 8E, and 8F and 8G are all things that we need to approve as a neighborhood council. If you look at the thickness of all of the things we have to go through, which is the self-assessment, the strategic plan, the outreach survey, the budget, and the board vote form. My suggestion is we would go over all of this as a board at our retreat. So if we can come up with a date for this retreat, which we've been talking about for years now. We were going to have it at the Reagan Library. We were going to have it at in Studio City at the Sportsman's Lodge. We were going to have it in Sacramento. We were going to have it on the moon. We need to just establish where when the retreat is going to be. Without objection, and I don't know, we can all discuss and debate this, but since all of this is due, the strategic plan and everything is due by September 1st, and Kelly Tyler with the library has said that we can use the library any Saturday to have the retreat, I would say having the retreat on Saturday, August 30th, would be ideal. Then we can argue for like 6 or 8 hours over all of this and then submit it before September 1st.
By the way, boss, you actually have 9 seconds to do the whole thing.
It says here that it has to be in by September 1st.
I know, but they told me 90 days.
From September 1st or from when they gave it to us?
From when they gave it to us.
So okay.
So we actually have longer, but I'm with you. You know how they keep changing their mind.
So without objection, council, we're going to jump to 8H, finalize the VNNC retreat at the Van Nuys Library and the participation in the community involvement plan, which I think we were the only library in Southern California that's doing this, and then she picked our council to work with. Does anybody have any objections to Saturday, August 30th? The entire day. It's Labor Day weekend. Is it? Okay. How about the 23rd?
That would be much better.
Okay. So on 8-8, I make a motion that we decide Saturday, August 23rd, is the date we will have our retreat at the Van Nuys Library. And with that, everything above 8-H, starting at 8-C, all of this will be addressed at our retreat, so we can jump through all of this and go right to 8H. I will talk to Kelly, or Penelope will talk to Kelly and find out when the library is open. There's a couple companies that come and do, team building, work building, so when we argue with each other, we do it in a nice formal way. And we can address all of this. We can call, we can bring in Dunn from downtown to train all the new council members, and we will hit the ground running for next year. So without objection, we are now shooting for Saturday, August 23rd, and I will get the details forthwith. And we would have to, it's going to be addressing all of the things, the self-assessment, the strategic plan, the outreach survey, the council budget, and the board vote form. Then we're also going to do training, and then we're also going to do the community involvement plan, which Kelly and Penelope went to Denver to meet with those representatives from the library. So it's going to be a full or all-day thing. I mean, yeah, you guys can come and go.
Is the retreat open to the general public?
I believe the retreat has to be open to the general public.
I believe so.
So we will, we'll get into the details of it. Right now we're just voting on August 23rd. Okay, so without objection, I make a motion we adopt 8H with the date of August 23rd. All right, Mr. Secretary, call for the vote.
Okay, President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Secretary Hendry, aye. Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarovitz.
Aye.
Mr. Martin.
Aye.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton. I don't see Ms. Skelton. Okay. Mr. Anand.
He had a family emergency.
Okay. Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Ms. Patton.
Yes.
Mr. Lynn. Mr. Luna.
Aye.
Mr. Murabi.
Yes.
Ms. Arzola. It passes.
Very good. That will be quite the day in the history of the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. Moving on, Next up, we have 8I, the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, to submit a community impact statement on medical marijuana dispensaries. The VNNC to recommend each of the 15 Los Angeles City Council districts in LA City have 9 medical marijuana dispensaries per council district. This would allow equal access to all patients with prescriptions and not make Van Nuys the medical marijuana dispensary capital of Los Angeles. What this will do, we will submit it. If it passes, we'll submit it to the Los Angeles City Council and see where it goes from there. Just where we came up with the numbers, Mr. Jeffrey Lynn asked me about it. There are officially 135 legal marijuana dispensaries in the city of Los Angeles. There are 15 council districts throughout our city, so 15 times 9 happens to be 135. If there's 9 legal medical marijuana dispensaries in each of the 15 council districts, it would allow equal access to everybody, and it would also give the LAPD a better ability to crack down on the dispensaries because they would know each 9 in each council district. So do we have any discussion and debate on that? Mr. Luna.
Is there any current limitations on other districts having dispensaries?
No, it's pretty much, I don't have the exact numbers, but there's
you can build one if
over
you want
1,000 in the city of L.A., and the LAPD needs or wants something with teeth where they can actually go in and enforce the law.
I think it's a good idea.
Mr. Hendry.
I thought the 135, though, already were in line, and unfortunately, if some districts had more than 9, and other districts had less, then that would be the game. The big thing is to get it down to 135.
The 135 is the magic number. I guess they call it pre-ICO. There's 135 legal dispensaries that are pre-ICO. What this will do is give the actual LA City Council an opportunity to move and work on addressing this issue. Whether it goes anywhere remains to be seen, but the numbers nicely add up, and it would be, at the very least, we would make some news passing this.
I have a...
Without objection, yes, Mr. Luna.
Last comment. I want to caution us against hindering free market. I don't know that hindering free market has ever really done well for us. If there are too many dispensaries, then some will die off. If there are 135 or however many dispensaries are currently active, if they're still in business, then their clients are keeping them in business. I don't know that it's for us to say that, no, you don't get to have this.
It's whether it's legal or not.
Well, it's currently legal.
Anything that's not on the list of the 135 is not legal, and the DEA, the LAPD, and everyone else can shut them down.
We're right. So I'm saying if there's outside of the 135, if there are illegal dispensaries, then they're illegal, and there are agencies in place to go crack down on them. Right. I'm just curious what this would actually accomplish other than just inhibiting businesses.
There was the apportionment of no more than 9 dispensaries per council district.
Right. I get the math, but I'm just saying is it really for government to say you're allowed to have this many or not?
Well, it was voted on by the voters. This is a voted proposition.
So the proposition passed?
It was a measure.
Then what are we doing then? It's already law.
We are giving...
There's 1,200 now within the city of Los Angeles, and only 135 is legal.
I'm just saying, are we voting, are we making a community impact statement on a law that's already in place?
We're asking that the city council district, each council district, have no more than 9 pot dispensaries.
9 legal ones.
9 legal pot dispensaries.
Right, but you're saying that went to vote and it voted?
135.
But it already got voted on and it got voted in the affirmative.
No, the apportionment of the
jobs has never been voted on.
That's what we're doing.
Only the number.
135 total. We're voting on making it an even distribution.
Yes. Correct.
So there is only allowed to have 135.
Correct.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I thought we were doing the whole thing. Okay.
No, that's it. Yeah. No, he's on board here. Mr. Henry, and then yes, Mrs. Treasurer.
But I thought these 135 people, in a sense, were already permitted and ticketed. And therefore, as I say, if there are 20 in one district prior to the vote, then they're going to be 20. And there are going to be 20 in one district, and maybe there are going to be none in other districts. I know, if I'm not mistaken, that they don't have any at the moment out in Mr. Englander's district, I think.
Which is
because
what,
like, he took a very aggressive stand. But still, aren't we arguing the wrong way? Aren't these 135? Are we talking about 135?
They were grandfathered in. So.
Yes, who have tickets, and therefore they get to stay where they are.
Right. Yes.
And as I say, if 20 are over the hill or 50 are over the hill, that's just where it is. And therefore we're arguing something that we can't argue because of the proposition.
Madam Treasurer.
Okay. Boulevard that I pass every day, and they just cropped up. So I'm telling you, there's a lot of illegal ones that are not being shut down, and as soon as you shut one down, they open up down the street. So we want to do this to try to stop that from happening. We want to give LAPD the teeth to do something, because there is a problem. The feds say they're all illegal, but we voted on a proposition and put it in. Big mistake, but that's okay, it happened. So the bottom line is, we're trying to do something to stop more and more and more opening up, because A, it's not helping the community. Look what happened to Verouge. He left the area and moved because Pot Shop opened up in front of his storefront, and he lost a lot of business because of it. He was a member of our panel. So I'm telling you that it's not a good idea to have so many cropping up all over the place, and then the problems that go along with it, with crime and so on. So they want to shut them down because the crime rate has gone up around them.
Ms. Schertzer.
I'd ask you all to provide some information
violent crime or DUIs? Does that have a pocket?
Provisions limiting where these shops can be located. So as Mr. Henry stated, if they're there, they're there, which is not true. They may be located in an area where it's prohibited. For example, close to schools, churches, or mental health drug facilities. Exactly.
Exactly. Thank you. We can vote on this and give it to the city council, and if they act on it, they act on it. If they don't, they don't. But this council will be on record as stating that we do not want to be the medical marijuana dispensary capital of Los Angeles, which is something that all of the constituents, for as long as I can remember being on this council, have come before this council, and it's probably the second largest issue besides the prostitution on Sepulveda. It's the one thing that I hear about the most besides what goes on Sepulveda Boulevard, and it's my understanding that what this would do is also create and generate a list where the LAPD would know who's legal and who isn't, and it would give them a better opportunity to actually enforce the law. Do we have any other discussion and debate on this community? Yes, what was that?
How many legal dispensaries are there in Van Nuys? Not illegal, because this is talking specifically about the legal dispensaries, and if the problem is the illegal ones, then this is not addressing the issue.
I would say over 9 and maybe less than 20 in Van Nuys. We can get all of the, I can get all that information from our police meeting tomorrow. We have our LAPD meeting tomorrow. But what this would do is give them the teeth to know which ones are legal, which ones are not legal, and to be able to shut down the ones that are not part of the 135.
Before we even move forward, Guillermo, are there stats available?
But this would help create those statistics. Monica?
I think there are a total of 68.
That are legal or
no.
Total?
Total.
I could see that being the number, and I could see there being 11, 15 legal ones.
Yeah, and I would hate to say it, but North Hills has more than we do.
Oh, my God. Really? There's anybody that did.
George, yeah. I have a list at home.
Okay.
Guess we're not the capital.
To North Hills?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that. Without objection, I would like to make a motion that we adopt 8I as is and vote on the language. With that, I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
Okay. President Thomas?
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin?
Yes.
Secretary Hendry abstains. Ms. Hopp?
Aye.
Ms. Havard?
Yes.
Ms. Meyer? Mr. Lazarovitz?
Aye.
Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Mr. Guevara?
Yes.
Ms. Skelton? I don't see. Okay. Mr. Anand?
Not here.
Family emergency.
Okay. Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Ms. Patton?
Yes.
Mr. Lynn?
Abstain.
Mr. Luna?
Abstain.
Mr. Marabi?
Yes.
Ms. Arzola? Okay. 11I appears to have passed.
All right, very good. Moving on. The next one, 8J, the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council to take an official position on the proposed living wage ordinance, Hotel Living Wage Council File 140223. If you guys remember correctly, we had a at-length debate on this a couple council meetings ago and didn't come up with any resolution. Basically, it was the living wage ordinance where I believe it's 15 something an hour.
But it's only for hotel workers?
Yes.
With hotels over $100.
Of course you can, Donna.
Can we just wait?
Well, I mean, we'll vote on it up or down and move on with our council meeting. Donna, you're recognized. Yes, ma'am.
As anybody who knows me, I'm against the living wage starting off with $15 an hour. I think that's a big mistake because there's nowhere to move up. I mean, you'll probably do this anyway, but I think that's a mistake because... Generally, what you want to do is you want to be able to feel like you've gained something 10 years from now. And if you start up at 15, there's no way, except maybe a little cost of living increase, that it's going to go anywhere. And I, you know, it's not fair that it's only hotel workers and they're being paid more than someone who does similar work. That they're not being paid 15, but the other is, which now may make people against each other, you know. So that's not a very good idea, and it's going to be bad for the business because then they'll actually start laying people off because they'll just say, well, I got to get $15 an hour. I'll just do with less employees and just make them work harder. So I see as a loss thing, and I'm against starting off with 15.
Mr. Hendry and then Ms. Hopp.
As a person who belongs to a labor union, I'm a little surprised, a little concerned by this. It doesn't really, I don't know, this seems to be a motion that comes from the top up and doesn't really come from the bottom. They really need to organize. That's the only simple comment, and it needs to be genuine and real and from the bottom up. It's not even always true in the union that I work with, but it needs to be from the bottom up, and I'm a little surprised at something being imposed from the top.
Mrs. Hopp and then Ms. Vogler.
Okay. I have to say that I agree with Mr. Lazarowicz that it's no parity, but more importantly, the minimum wage overall is just now come up to $9 an hour, and two more years before it will go to 10. And yet these people are going to be making 15 if this goes through. And that's so unfair to everybody else in general, not to mention everybody that is in a similar job and not getting the same amount. So as far as I'm concerned, that is an egregious thing to do to the general public who are really, you know, they're working two jobs just to try to pay their rent and buy food. So to me, yeah, I mean, if you're only making $9 an hour, if two of you make that, that's 18. That's semi-decent. But, you know, it's just not fair. So
no, I agree with you.
We will hear from Miriam, and then we will vote it up or down. I have a letter here that was sent to the mayor from Veronica Perez, who's with the Small Hotel Coalition for Jobs. The conclusion that they came up with, I'll read it exactly word for word. Finally, this proposal may bring about the unintended consequence of minimizing job opportunities for youth. The hotel industry accounts for a large majority of seasonal and temporary jobs for young workers, and hotel owners will be inclined to hire more experienced workers at such a high starting wage.
Mm-hmm.
We strongly urge you to carefully examine these important issues and be mindful of the impact of this proposal and the impact it'll have on small hotels in the city. We thank you for your consideration. So I believe the actual number is $15.37 an hour, Miriam Folkler.
I disagree with it as well, because the fact is it's going to put a lot of businesses out of here, and it's going to kill our economy. And now look at the fast food people. They want the same thing. Then somebody else wants it. And then, you know, that's going to really kill our economy. It's just going to be really jumpstart. And it's, the people are making $9 an hour, $10 an hour, are going to end up on the street. They're not going to be able to keep up. So,
very good.
Folks, you know, I think this is a very bad deal, and I hope you kill it tonight. Thank you very much.
All right, anything else from the council? All right, with that, I make a motion that we vote on this language as is, the VNNC, to take an official position on the proposed living wage ordinance. Mr. Vice President seconded it. Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote.
30 seconds, okay. President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
No.
Secretary Hendry will vote aye. Ms. Hopp.
No.
Ms. Havard. Ms. Meyer?
No.
Mr. Lazarovitz?
No.
Mr. Martin?
No.
Mr. Guevara?
Uh-oh.
No? Okay. I think that is a no.
No.
I did. I took that as a no. Yes. Mr. Anand? He's away. Okay. Mr. De La Cuesta?
Abstain.
Abstain. Ms. Patton?
No. Yeah.
Mr. Lynn? Mr. Luna?
No.
Mr. Marabi?
No.
Ms. Arzola?
Abstain.
Abstain.
The motion fails. The VNNC does not support the proposed living wage ordinance.
10-0.
Very good, you guys. We agreed to disagree in a normal fashion, and I'm very proud of everyone. Moving on, 8K. The VNNC to vote on electing a co-chair of the Public Safety Committee. Mr. Lazarovitz, you had somebody in mind?
Yes, Mr. Robin.
There it is. Without objection, is there anybody else that would care to be the co-chair? Do we have any objection to Camby being the co-chair?
Or just the chair?
Just the chair.
Well, I don't think Joseph wants to give up the...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know Joseph
chairmanship.
Was in. Sorry.
Joseph, you're... So, without objection, I guess the language would be that we support and we're voting on Kamvitz Marabi being the co-chair of the Public Safety Committee. I make a motion we adopt 8K as is with Camby being the co-chair. Mr. Lazarovitz seconded it, and I call for the vote.
President Thomas.
I'm going to abstain because Camby and I have a business deal.
Vice President Benjamin.
Oh, absolutely.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Ms. Hopp.
Aye.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarovitz.
Yes.
Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Guevara. Okay, Mr. Anand? No, we'd okay. Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
We have a whole bunch in the middle here who are missing, so that's my problem. Ms. Patton?
Yes.
Mr. Lynn?
Yes.
Mr. Luna?
Yes.
Mr. Marabi?
Abstain.
And Ms. Arzola?
Yes.
Okay, passes.
Very good. Congratulations, Mr. Marabi. Moving on, 8L, discussion and debate of installing a Marilyn Monroe statue at the Orange Line Station in Van Nuys and working alongside Metro and the MTA on promoting public transportation, especially to visit the Marilyn Monroe statue. A little background on this. If we have the Marilyn Monroe statue at the Orange Line in Van Nuys and the post office goes through with Congressman Cardenas, in between the statue and the post office, we could declare all of that a business improvement district. And we could work on cleaning up Van Nuys Boulevard. Everyone could have Marilyn Monroe, little statuettes, snow globes, keychains. You guys get the gist of it. Yeah, it would be tchotchke paradise. Jerry Martin has taken the lead on this and has already reached out to Metro. I know the wheels of government turn slowly. Let's say for hypotheticals, no, we'll hear from her, but let's just say we don't have to spend a dime of council money and somebody comes in and donates the statue. What is the process of now getting Norma Jean at the Orange Line?
As I said, there is policies associated. It's considered public art, and there's public art policies within the agency that, as I said, I'm new. I'm still trying to get that information. And so it's not as easy as saying, okay, we're going to put a statue up. There's policy, and there's a lot of work that goes into developing the art at each of the station, and it happens well in the planning stages. As you can see, each station has different art elements, and so it's working with the appropriate people at Metro to make sure it's something that could be done. But as I said, I'm new. I'm still trying to get the policy. I would suggest maybe you consider tabling this until I have more information and continue to work with Mr. Martin.
And when we could just leave it on the agenda. Would you want us to go pick a spot? I mean, would that help?
Again, if it's within the station right away that Metro owns, there's a policy.
Okay.
If you decide to put it elsewhere, then you would have to work with the council office because that's outside of the jurisdiction of Metro.
So do you have something you can send us in regards to like a memo or a...
Absolutely. As soon as the person that I've been coordinating with gets back to me, she's on vacation this week, I will forward it on to the
committee. Okay, Monica, you had your hand up.
Going to be wearing a dress.
Yeah, great, you know, but it is Marilyn Monroe, and it is here in Van Nuys, and a lot of us that are doing a lot of cleanup work.
Sure. Penelope?
Well, they had at one of the stops on the red line those beautiful, they were replicas of antique cars, and those have had to be, they're removed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
They removed them because of all of the upkeep on those.
Yeah. It's just a sad
reality. It's a very, very...
No, I'm concerned about that as well. Mr. Hendry.
But what happened to Marilyn? She left Palm Springs for Jersey. I mean, is she available to come back?
Well, that statue's like 100 feet tall, so that would be the one in Palm Springs.
It left Palm Springs, or did somebody buy it when they took it to Jersey?
Did anybody else have anything on this, on the Marilyn Monroe statue? A backup plan, I was discussing this with Moses, who runs the hot dog stand out here in front of the courts. And he suggested that if you were going to put a statue anywhere, that it would be within that little foyer of the city building right here where it could be watched, where security is there 24 hours a day, and when security's not there, they bring down, you know, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, right over here, and they bring that down so it would be under 24-hour surveillance. Moses has been here selling hot dogs since, you know, day one, and he knows, you know, the Fernando statue gets graffitied. So maybe a backup plan is, you know, right in front of here in that little foyer. That way it could actually have security. And a fun thing, I mean, once we get this up, you know, everyone and their mother is going to want to come and take a picture with it, especially if it's life-size and on the ground. And then if we do have security watching it, we would be covered right here. And you could still quasi-work with Metro and say, take the Metro to the Marilyn Monroe statue. And, I mean, the same thing with the post office. I mean, all the, like, the stuff that Roland is going to donate, obviously that'll be inside the post office so no one can steal it or whatever. Exactly, and then we can start doing that where, and I've discussed it. We can. Yes. And I've discussed it with, years ago, Candy and I discussed doing this and bringing in a Don Drysdale statue. I think Candy suggested a Paula Abdul statue. He's a big fan. But either one of those, all right, well, we did discuss having like a statuary row out here to bring light to Van Nuys history. Yes, Mr. Hendry.
I will say I was in Palm Springs at Christmas, noon of Christmas Day, and there were 100 people standing around the Marilyn Monroe statue. I found that amazing, but I can't tell you. I saw it.
Mr. Piper.
What about Amelia Earhart, too?
Well, once again, I mean, if we're going to go down this rabbit hole with statues, I would be happy to have an Amelia Earhart statue here at the Government Center also, and people could come and take pictures with it. But it would be, it would have to have security. I mean, that's basically the main issue, would be the security of the statue. So there's really nothing to vote on. We were just discussing and debating this. We will get information from Metro. Jerry will follow up on that for sure. And then if push comes to shove, we can just put it here at the Marvin Brody Center, and I would like to be one of the first ones to take a picture with the lovely lady from Van Nuys. Major announcements?
No, I'm looking at Glenn Bailey and letting him know that I've made his announcements. But
Mr. Bailey. Could you send an email and loop us all in?
No, I can't.
Can you loop me in? Yes, to not violate the Brown Act. I get it. Very good, guys. Moving on, 8M, create an ad hoc committee to establish a permanent home for the Museum of the San Fernando Valley. Okay, and Miriam, I think you've exceeded your 10 minutes, but since it is at the end of the meeting, I will recognize you.
Thank you so much for the. I want to be so much for this because they have been long waiting. They've been vacated over here at the San Fernando Valley Museum. I talked to the man. I know him, and he would more than very much like to have the 39 fire station, the old one over here.
And I believe that would be part of the consideration on the list.
Now, the ad hoc, you said that that could be on there?
Of course you can.
Okay, so I would like to be able to get involved and get that fruition happen for Van Nuys.
Very good.
And be the major leader in the San Fernando Valley.
Does anybody have any discussion or debate on the Museum of the San Fernando Valley's permanent home? We're voting on it. Going once. Now, is there anyone interested in chairing this ad hoc committee?
Yes.
Kambitz Maribi, do you have anything in regards to this issue, sir?
I explore some areas with the post office here as well that they can
court yet, but I'm exploring.
And very good.
And I need a museum.
Well, let's get together and put our heads together.
Well, this is the process of it. Mr. Secretary, you're recognized.
Okay, a small concern. I keep waiting to hear when Northridge was supposed to get money to do a Valley Museum at Cal State Northridge. I haven't heard anything more about it. So that would be the big whale in this thing.
Well, it's my understanding that they have offices at CSUN in Northridge, but it's not the museum. It's just their administrative offices.
They were supposed to get money in the budget, state budget, though, for more.
Once we get the committee ball rolling, we can apply for federal funding, state funding, county funding. We could loop in LACMA. We could do the whole bit.
Private sector as well. Yeah. Sure. There are a lot of building owners who want to have donate some money in order to get crowd and traction.
Without objection, would this council entertain a motion to elect Mr. Marabi, the chair of the museum committee?
Seconded.
Okay. With that, I call for a vote on 8M, electing Camby the chair of the ad hoc museum committee.
President Thomas.
I'm going to abstain.
Okay, just a second. Vice President Benjamin.
Absolutely.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Ms. Hopp.
Aye.
Ms. Havard. Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarovitz?
Yes.
Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Mr. Guevara?
Yep.
Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Ms. Padden?
Yes.
Mr. Lynn?
Aye.
Mr. Luna?
Yes.
Mr. Marabi?
Abstain.
And Ms. Arzola?
Yes.
Okay, it passes.
Very good. Just for fun and a little bit of info, the 2010 census results boost the number of men, women, and children living and working in the San Fernando Valley to 2 million. If the 300-square-mile area that is the valley were a single city, it would be the fifth largest in the nation. Stats aside, which is most notable, is that this great region year by year as the creative capital of the United States, if not the world. And until now, there has not been one museum or institution to document, preserve, and celebrate the full scope of the valley. So there you have it, the fifth largest city in the nation, and we don't have a museum. Yet. Yet. All right. And it's only 9:12, and we are at our last agenda item, which in 5 years on this council, I've never experienced this. So with
more.
It's amazing. So the final thing on the agenda tonight is establish a cleanup crew for north of Van Owen on Van Nuys Boulevard. The VNNC also to come up with a cleanup plan and schedule possible dates for the cleanup. Candy, this is your baby. You want to pass the torch. But the chair can recognize. You're recognized. Very good. So just real quick, guys, this part of Van Nuys does need to be cleaned up. It was floated at the executive committee that we do a cleanup crew working on this and then going around the government center. Maybe it's something we address at our retreat, and then we do a quarterly cleanup where everyone can come. You can invite your neighbors and everything else, and we...
It was also suggested that we enlist private business, specifically Starbucks.
Yes.
In the Starbucks.
So.
Yeah.
So with that, let's leave this on the agenda. We'll put it in old business, and we will slowly but surely come up with those that want to serve on the cleanup crew, and we will start addressing. What is it? Exactly. We are. We're looping in Starbucks.
Is there any way possibly to have any cleanups that are not on Saturday and Sunday? Wouldn't you like to have fun on Saturday
and Sunday? Donna, we can definitely look into this. We are going to keep this on the agenda as old business, and we will discuss and debate it next.
Donna wants to be able to help out.
week. Donna is going to be in charge of the rakes for sure. All right, Donna, you're in charge of the rakes. Miriam, you're in charge of the dustpan. All right? And we're going to do this. We're not messing around. All right. Mr. Secretary, did you have something?
I had one last in jest. If the president would find out what time the brew pub closed, maybe that would be an encouragement for us to get out of here before 10 o'clock.
Well, there it is. With that, no additional announcements. It's 9:14 p.m., and it is my honor and privilege to adjourn this council meeting. Wow.
You want the beer?
Did you bring beer for me?
Yeah, it's in here. It's in here.
Okay, can I use these? And then I'm going to talk to Joanne about paying you for this.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Why are you stepping down?
Well, I have issues and
we all have issues. We all have issues.
Well, I have medical issues.
Okay.